We're going to be starting a series today in 1 Peter. 1 Peter is not too far away from the book of Revelation if you're not used to knowing where it is. And this is a letter from the Apostle Peter to believers that were dispersed for a lot of reasons, principally the Jews who were away from their homeland. And for Gentiles who might have been dispersed because of persecution starting under the government. But before I even go there, I want to just have some reflection with you for a moment. The eyes of many people yesterday were at Belmont Park. And Belmont Park was standing room only. I don't know if you saw the crowd. And it was standing room only over a horse, because they wanted to see a horse whose name happened to be Justify win the Triple Crown. And I know that's a rare event. And Justify was a beautiful animal. And he won the race and all. But I had a marvel at how people will gather at a place, spend a lot of money, by the way, because you know those purses had to be paid by someone, and just for a glimpse of a winner. Just for a glimpse. I got news for you. That horse didn't care about the fact that you were there or anybody was looking or anything like that. He just wanted to get this over with, and he wanted a bath. That's what he wanted. I was impressed by the jockey when he was interviewed after the race. Gave praise to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the gospel, rang out. But here's a horse called Justified and wanted to see if he was a winner. All right. Here's what we lose prospect of, because our culture defines success in so many different ways, unbiblical ways, by the way, that we begin to put people in categories of winners and losers, don't we? Yeah. Some of you may have grown up that way. Maybe you, unfortunately, may have had a parent or two parents telling you you'll never amount to anything, or you're a loser, or you're this, you're that. And unfortunately, I know those things happen. But I'm here to tell you this morning. If you have put your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're a winner. You are a winner. I don't care what happened. I mean, I do care what happened previously. But the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're a winner. Guess what your name is? Justified. Saint. Child. I mean, we can go on and on. You are a winner. After the events of this week, I just got to thinking about how many people I meet, even in my own walk, who walk this life with no hope. With no hope. And we don't have to live there. As believers, we don't have to live there. The moment that we trusted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we were justified. We were adopted. We were sealed without the Holy Spirit, who then seals our inheritance. Whoa, inheritance. Many of you know that Rod Conover and I were very close. Rod Conover was the pastor at, Chore Vineyard. Thank you. This old age stuff is terrible. Chore Vineyard, and for many years we've been close friends. And you remember when the economy tanked in 2008? Said to me, Lou, I had X amount of dollars in my retirement. And he says, that's been cut down to a quarter. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning for the future. And I don't want to step on Dave Ramsey's toes here. We should plan for the future. But do you realize that even on this side of heaven, if we plan to the future, anything can happen, correct? Not so with our inheritance in Christ. And that should fuel our hope, because nothing, no one, can ever take that away from us. Doesn't matter what the stock market does. It doesn't matter what futures do. It doesn't matter what the banks do. Doesn't matter what your employer does. Doesn't matter what the schools do. Nothing and no one can take that away from us. I wrestled with this message. I'm going to be very honest with you because, honestly, I'm getting tired of preaching it. You know why? Because I get no reaction. I get no reaction. It's almost as if we're thinking about what we need for lunch, what we're going to do later, what we're going to do in this and that. And we have lost the power, generally speaking, to live in the moment. We've lost the power to say, I'm here maybe because God wants me to hear something. We've lost the expectation that you're not here by accident. That coming to church like this is part of God's plan for you to know and to revitalize the hope he has graciously given to you because you and I don't deserve it. You and I don't deserve it. And so Peter starts this letter. And he says this in the letter. If you don't have your Bibles, I'll guide you through it. Oops, I went the wrong way. Okay, that may be a little blurry to see. I'm sorry about that, but bear along with me. Peter, an apostle of Jesus, to God's elect, exiles scattered through the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen, listen to the language here, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ, sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace to be with you. Now, a couple of things I'd like you to take away from this greeting. Number one, in order for us to appreciate the hope we have, we all need a new beginning. Correct? How many of you are grateful for God for the new beginning he has given you? Would you please speak up about it? That's grace. We don't deserve it. And then, you know, when we come to faith, we're still not perfect, correct? It's a journey we enter into this process of sanctification, of becoming more like Jesus every day. So every once in a while we blow it, right? Okay? And then the scripture says if we come to God in honest confession and sorrow and repent, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So are any of you glad for second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances? When was the last time you thought about that? This is all part of our of the treasure, the hope, the inheritance we have in Christ. Listen to me. I've done a lot of pastoral counseling over the years, and I am convinced of this one fact. If we can even catch a glimpse of how much God loves us and that in him we have security of that love, even when we're not obedient, he still loves us. He gives us new life, new purpose, significance. If we can catch that and catch a glimpse of that and live in that, most of our issues will go away. Most of our issues will go away. We would stop walking around like we think we're losers. Or we would stop walking around and say, look what I've done for myself. We would say, hey, look at what God's done for me. He took me from this heap, this mess, and brought me into new life, a new purpose. This is written to people who were away from their homes. Well, you say, well, Pastor, we're not usually forced to flee our homes. Well, there may come a time. There may come a time you may have to move and not want to. There may come a time that you're in a hospital bed. But you know what these opening verses are saying? No matter where you are, your Father's not going to forget you. He's not going to forget you, and he hasn't left you. And he's there with you. And then it gets better. It says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great, what's the word? He has given us what? into what? A living hope. This is not a hope based on anything except Jesus Christ and his promises. That's it. Now, the scripture says that the promises of Christ are always yes in Christ. His promises will come true. Not what we want, what he wants. Into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And into, what's the word? That can never what? I have seen, unfortunately, over the years, as I have been with people who have lost loved ones, who somehow were in the will of the one that was who had passed away. And I have seen instances where that will has miraculously disappeared. Unfortunately, it's happened to a friend of mine, as a matter of fact. These people never got anything that was willed to them because somebody was deceitful. Somebody was deceitful. This is saying that the inheritance God has for us in Christ can never perish, can't just disappear, it can never go bad, can never spoil, and it can't fade away. It can't fade away. I remember my mother telling me, my mother lived in, as a young girl, really, in the garment district in New York. And when the Great Depression hit, I remember her telling me stories of executives who jumped out of buildings because the stock market crashed. How sad. How sad. We have an inheritance given to us through the mercy and grace of God in Christ that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Not only that, the inheritance is kept where? Where? For who? For you. If you have large sums of money and you're fortunate enough to have that and you trust a bank with it or you trust some investment company with it, you want to know that they're insured, right? FDIC or AT&T or whatever the initials are. You want to know that, God forbid anything happens, that your money is going to be there. Well, that depends on the strength of the company that's insuring, okay? Here, there's no question. It says your inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by whose power? Not Sloman Shield. By whose power? Let me ask you, how much power does God have? Infinite. Nobody's going to take this. Not even Satan. Nobody's going to take this. Until the coming of our salvation or the coming of Jesus Christ that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this, you greatly rejoice. That's the easy part, right? You greatly rejoice. But Peter knows that these people were undergoing some stressful times. They were forced to go away from their homes. Some of them were in situations that were very unpleasant. And so he's saying, look, you should be rejoicing. Though, what, now you, for a little while, may have had to, what's the word? We don't like that. For a little while, you may have to suffer what? In what? All kinds of trials. Blessed be your name. He gives and takes away. He gives and takes away. But no matter what life throws at us here, our inheritance never changes. No matter what life throws at us here, God's love for us never changes. No matter what life throws at us here, God is for us. And if God is for us, who could be against us? Can we live in that truth in the power of the Holy Spirit? Can we do that? Then why do I see so many mopey faces all the time? Is that a word? Mopey? I see So many mopey faces. You know what we're guilty of? We're guilty of letting other things rob us of the joy that we have in Christ. We let people rob us of our joy. That's our fault. Not the people's fault, by the way. That's our fault. We let circumstances rob us. Anything else? Money or worry about money? That all robs us from the joy. And you know, we may think somebody's crazy. They may have gone through a great calamity. And even though it hurts, even though they suffer, and it's not fake, but deep down inside, they still have the joy of the Lord through it all. Not in a plastic way, but in a very real way that's deeply rooted. These trials happen for a purpose, by the way. I can't tell you the exact purpose of each trial. Only God can do that. All right? But I can tell you this. Listen to this statement as Peter goes on. He says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater work than what? Anybody here willing to part with their gold? Anybody yesterday at the Kentucky at Belmont willing to part with their winning ticket? I mean, these are real questions after a while. What do we really value? When trials come along, this is saying to me that if we, in the power of the Holy Spirit, remain obedient to Jesus through those trials, it is going to prove our faith is genuine. And that doesn't mean we go around with a smile on our face all the time. It means we know that God is still in charge, no matter what. That he hasn't left us, and that we have hope in him. It says, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in what? Praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. Our problem is we don't want to suffer, you know. And I'm going to say there's no glory in suffering, so please don't leave here and say that I'm saying you should suffer. But life is going to happen, and there's going to be times that are hard and trials. And as by God, in God's power, through the Holy Spirit, under the authority of the Word, as we remain obedient to God, he's going to refine our faith. He's going to prove it is genuine, not for our glory, but for his, and we'll praise him. And, you know, when Christ comes back again, we'll hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So though you have not seen him, physically seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Wow. When we obey in the power of the Holy Spirit under the authority of God's word, the result will be praise and glory and honor for Jesus Christ when he comes back again. Do you realize that when you are going through tough times and people know that you're a born-again believer, they're watching you. They want to see this for real. They want to sing. And listen to me. If you should happen to mess up, confess it. Be honest about it. Don't try to cover it up. Other people will respect you more for it. You learn from it. You sneeze. You confess it before God. And you go on. But people will be looking. And he goes on to say, that our personal relationship with Christ can be, if we're obedient, deepened through the trials, even though we haven't physically seen him. But we have faith that we are his. We will fall deeper in love with Christ And the more we're in love with Christ, the more our joy is going to be deepened. And the more our joy is deepened, it's going to be inexpressible. Again, going back to the race yesterday, I was looking at the jockey and the reporter was trying to ask him questions. The reporter's on a horse next to the guy. And he just finished this race. And it was obvious the jockey was so overwhelmed with emotion. At first, he couldn't speak. I can't imagine what I am going to do the moment I see Jesus face to face. I can only imagine. Right? I can't even imagine that moment. But you know, every day I meet Jesus. Every day you can meet Jesus. And we can live in that inexpressible joy and glorious hope that we have if we permit Christ to do it. Now, this is nothing new, okay? If you look at the last couple of verses with me, it says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come searched intensely with the greatest care. They were so intrigued with the message that God had given them about the coming Messiah. They wanted to know more. And they preached, many of them, at the perils of their own lives. But they did it in obedience to God. Some were killed. Many of them were killed for bringing the message of hope to a hopeless people. Why is it that in our sin nature, we reject the very thing that can help us many times? Some of you, I know, don't like doctors. Dr. K's not here. He's the exception. But some of you don't like doctors. Some of you don't like taking medicine when it's prescribed. Some of you don't like therapy when it's prescribed. You know, and we go on to this, and we tend to reject the very thing that could help us. Well, why don't you like it? I don't. No, it's not a reason, okay? Why don't you listen to the doctor? Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I said, okay, you know, I mean, and the bigger issue here is why don't we listen to God? He sends prophets all the time. Are we hearing? Are we obeying? This is the grace of God. Goes on to say, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing to the first coming of the Messiah. And he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. And he goes on to say, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. When they spoke of these things that have now been told, you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. What a great salvation we have. And we didn't do one thing to deserve it. In fact, we don't deserve it. Jesus had to pay the price for us so that we can know faith, hope, and love. You know, in all honesty, going back to yesterday's race, if it were not for the horse Justify, nobody would have won. People couldn't run like Justify ran, right? Jesus had to come and live the life we can't live. Jesus had to suffer for my sin and your sin so that the finished work of the cross could be applied to my life and yours the moment we believe. So what does this mean for us? Does anything you take away from this today, know this. God sees the big picture for our circumstances. Just like he did with these believers who were dispersed away from their homes, with his assurance that he won't forget them and he's with them and their inheritance is secure And then they've been born into new life and new purpose. And even though they're going through trials right now, he's saying, don't give up on me because I'm not giving up on you. You don't see the whole picture, but I do. Every once in a while, well, more than once in a while, a lot, I see commercials for Danny Thomas's hospital. St. Jude's, right? And there's one of this little girl who's battling cancer. And these are heartbreaking. I mean, you watch these are really heartbreaking. And she says one thing at the end of the commercial. She says, the people here at St. Jude's, they never do give up on a kid. God will never give up on you. He will never give up on you. The question is, do we give up on him? We need to take our eyes off the present circumstances, lift them up to God, and trust him in the process. Loving obedience to God can replace despair with hope. Secondly, yield to the word of God and the spirit of God when we suffer trials. He will empower us to continue on with him and trust him for the outcome that will honor him and bring glory to him. So, my prayer for us today is simple. Don't leave here being a sourpuss. Is that a word? Okay. Rejoice in the grace of God. Rejoice in the fact that he is for you and he is with you. He's not going to forget you. He's not going to give up on you. Know that when we suffer trials, whatever they may be, as hard as they may be, and as disappointing as they may be, this too shall pass. If God is for us. How many of you really believe that? If God is for us, say like you're alive. Who could be against us? Amen? There's a lot of people hurting out there. There are some people hurting in here. The best thing we can do, in love, in gentleness, yet boldly, is show them Jesus Christ. For those of us who are hurting in here, the best thing we can do is lift our eyes to him and trust him through the process. So I'm going to ask the praise team to come up.